What do you get God for His birthday? What is it that God wants? Because after all, it's His birthday. I mean, how many birthday parties do we show up to where we are the ones who get the gifts? I mean, maybe the children are starting that kind of tradition now because they get a goodie bag or something when they show up for a birthday party, they all get to take something home. But in reality, normally when you show up at someone's birthday party, they are the ones receiving the gifts, not you. And so to answer these questions, we want to examine Jesus' birth according to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 1 through 20. That's a good reminder. Did you all hear that? I'm not meaning to pick on anyone, but a few years ago, I was standing here and my phone went off. So I'm going to check it right now, and you may want to check yours. Mine's on vibrate. We're good to go. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from a town of Nazareth, to Judah, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no inn room for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they with haste went and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, while the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Christmas is about good news. Tonight I want us to consider the words of the angel of the Lord in verses 10 through 12. It says, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." First, the angel said, as we consider his words, it says that he brings good news of great joy. That is, good news for you. Good news for the world. And the good news is that Christ the Lord is born. I want to tell you today, as we mentioned Sunday, that Christmas is about Christ, not about presents. Christmas is about Jesus Christ, not about presents. How do we know if we're celebrating the true meaning of Christmas? I ask myself this, how do I know? If I am celebrating, how do you know? Are you truly celebrating the true meaning of Christmas? Because just saying that we're celebrating the true meaning of Christmas doesn't really mean that we are. Do I need presents and tinsel? Do you need presents and tinsel to make your Christmas feel like Christmas? Do we need the traditions of family gatherings and going from one place to another and looking at the lights and special church services such as these and certain songs to make your Christmas feel like Christmas? If Christmas were really about these things, then what about poor people? How are they supposed to celebrate? What about lonely people that have no family? How are they supposed to celebrate? What about homeless people? How are they supposed to celebrate? If Christmas were indeed about all these things that we say we need to make us feel warm and cozy and warm and fuzzy and make it feel like Christmas, then how do missionaries celebrate? How do persecuted Christians around the world celebrate? You see, Christmas is about Jesus. It doesn't matter if you're clothless and penniless. It doesn't matter if you have all the money in the world. You can celebrate the true meaning, the real meaning of Christmas. And I want to submit to you that the greatest gift that you can give at Christmas is this good news that they're talking about. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the gift. That is the one gift that we all need. That is the one good gift that never grows tired. That's the one gift that doesn't matter. Everyone needs to hear it. It's the gift that God gave at Christmas. It's the gift that you can give at Christmas. John 3:16, the most popular verse in the world. For God gave His one and only Son that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the good news. That is the gift of Christmas. That is the message of Christmas. That is the true meaning of Christmas. Jesus is the Savior of the world. It's not about all the things that the world has made it. I read an article that was explaining how we will spend $602 billion in 2014 as Americans on the winter holidays. The winter holidays include Christmas, Kwanzaa, and Hanukkah, with a vast, vast, vast majority of that money being spent on Christmas, that is, by supposed Christians. But Christmas isn't about that. Christmas is about the Savior. In Matthew 1:20-21, after Mary had laid the bombshell on Joseph that she was pregnant, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, it says, in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We have gifts at Christmas. I give gifts at Christmas. You give gifts at Christmas. But the greatest gift that you will give anybody tonight, tomorrow, or at any time is the gift of Jesus. And you may say, well, how? How am I going to give that? Well, you make it a priority. You make it a priority in your Christmas celebration. You make it a priority in the activities that you do. You make Jesus Christ the priority in all that we do. I mean, why do we give gifts anyway? We give gifts because we love people. We give gifts because we love our family. We give gifts because we love our friends and our coworkers and our neighbors. We give gifts for that reason. Somehow, some way, in the middle of your Christmas celebration, stop what you're doing in order to give the good news because you really love people. John 15:13 says this, greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. If we really love our family, if we really want to find that perfect gift, if we want to find that special gift, we must make sure that we give them Jesus. That article that I referred to earlier said that Christmas is now synonymous with materialism. Not Jesus. Not Christ. I hope you give good gifts, but do not neglect your family, your friends, and your co-workers with the greatest gift of all. The second thing we learn from the angel of the Lord is that this good news of great joy is for, he says, all people. It's good news of great joy for all people. It used to bother me that non-Christians celebrated Christmas. Has that ever bothered you? It kind of bothers me. I'm like, man, that's our holiday. That's us. That's not. I mean, they get off work just like everyone, just like Christians do. They get to hang the trees. They celebrate. They do everything just like Christians do. Everyone's living it up. But they don't know a bit more about Christmas than they know Adam. But God has convinced me lately that that is the point of Christmas. The point of Christmas is because they do not know Christ. That's why Christmas is important. Christmas is actually for those who do not know Christ, because it is the good message of God to them. It's the good message of God to you. It's the good message of God, especially to those who do not know Jesus. Romans 1:16, we're very familiar. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel," or that is the good news. "For it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." It is this is our message of Christmas. This is the message that we celebrate, the reason we're even here tonight. I would go so far as to say that Christmas is not so much concerned with those who are saved, but rather for those who still need Jesus. Consider what Jesus says in Luke chapter 5, verse 30. "And the Pharisees and their scribes grumbled against his disciples, saying, 'Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?' And Jesus answered them, 'To those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but to call sinners to repentance.'" Jesus will save his people from their sins. Jesus has come to save the sinners. He's come to save people like you and me. That's the message of Christmas. Christmas is your opportunity to introduce people in your life, everyone in your life, to what Jesus did for them. Do you understand that you too are going to be eating and drinking with people that don't know God? And we're even going to give them presents, and we're going to give them cards, and we're going to talk to them about the weather, and we're going to talk to them about how wonderful everything is. But are we planning on talking to them about the good news of Christmas? And lastly, Christmas provokes worship. And I think this is very important to how we celebrate Christmas. Many of the activities that we're involved in at Christmas lead to envy, to selfishness, and sometimes even to disappointment. If that's the case, we've missed the point of Christmas and we've celebrated it wrong. Christmas incites worship, not selfishness. Notice the absence of pomp and circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus. Verse 12 tells us the proper sign of Christmas. Verse 12 tells us, "You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." This is your sign. Your sign isn't pomp and circumstances. Your sign is a humility that's going to save the world. And notice where worship takes place. First, there's worship in heaven, verses 13 and 14. "And suddenly there was with the angel a great multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" The angels and the heavenly host, they were not worshiping because Mary was in the Marriott with five-star accommodations. They were not worshiping because Mary and Joseph were perfect parents. The angels and the heavenly host, they were not worshiping because the wise men were going to be bringing gifts soon. They were worshiping because the Lord God Almighty had brought salvation to His special creation, the creation made in His image, because God was going to save those who would trust in Jesus Christ, humanity. We're told the same thing in another place, that there's worship in heaven that goes on when God intervenes to save people. Do you remember Luke 15, where the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep and goes after the one lost sheep? That's the message of Christmas. And he's telling about the parable of the lost sheep and the parable of the lost coin. And then he gives the parable of the prodigal son. But here he says that, remember, he says that when he finds the lost sheep, he calls his friends and he calls his neighbors and he says, rejoice with me because I've found my sheep. And in verse 7 of Luke 15, Jesus says, just like that man celebrates over finding his lost sheep, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. That is, the good news, the gospel message brings joy in heaven. It brings worship. It incites worship in heaven. When lost people hear about Jesus, I want to tell you, heaven stands ready. And when lost people respond to Christ, the heavenly hosts are summoned by God Almighty to celebrate. What can we give at Christmas? What can we do that would make heaven celebrate? What could you give Jesus? As a Christian, someone who has responded to Him, what could you give Him? What could you do that would make heaven celebrate? You would go after the one. You would share this good news of Jesus Christ with them. Christmas incites worship in heaven. But I want to tell you, when celebrated properly, it incites worship on the earth as well. Verse 20 tells us, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. When and if your Christmas celebrations are done properly, when and if my Christmas celebration is proper, people will worship the Lord God for what He has done through Christ Jesus rather than worshiping me or the gifts that I've given them. They will worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And I'm afraid that often when we leave Christmas, people are worshiping everything except God. I'm afraid they're worshiping tradition. I'm afraid they're worshiping those who give the best gifts. They worship even themselves. But true Christmas celebration leaves both ourselves and others worshiping Jesus. And hopefully by tonight, if not, you're in trouble. The presents have already been purchased. The trees have already been put in place. And the houses are already decorated. Mine too. But tomorrow, let's make sure that the only one who's worshipped is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Can we agree to do that? Whatever it takes, let's make sure that He's the one that receives honor and glory and that people hear about Him because of you and your Christmas celebration. Let's pray. Father, tonight, thank You for breaking into our world, for sharing the truth of Jesus with us. Thank You, Lord, that You did not forget about us. Thank You, Lord, that You did not neglect Your special creation. Thank You, Lord, that You love us enough to send Your Son, Jesus. And Lord, You showed us through His humble circumstance that it doesn't take wealth, that it doesn't take pomp and circumstance, Lord, for You to be glorified. Lord, to make the heavens sing praises to You, to make the earth sing praises to You, that it doesn't take all the world offers, but Lord, that it takes what You offer in Jesus. And I pray that in our new year, that we, Your people, the people who really want to celebrate Christmas, and celebrate it properly, Lord, we do everything within our power, within our resource, within our voice to share You.